Welcome to the Padre Island Podcast here for Pentecost Sunday, May 24th, 2026. And I'll be doing the reading for the Mass during the day as opposed to the Vigil Mass. And yeah, just I guess it's dealer's choice on that one. They're both gospel readings that relate to the Holy Spirit, but it just seems like I bet most of us are a little bit more familiar with the readings during the day rather than the Vigil. So here we go. Passage is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a daily Mass person or follow the readings during the weekdays, you know that there's been many references to the Holy Spirit here recently, and it increases our sense of expectation and hope. It increases our desire to access the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to re-enliven us, to renew us in faith, to remind us of all that Jesus said and did. So even if we've already received the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation, that mystery can always be deepened and integrated in our life a little bit more intentionally. Now, I know it's a gift. At the same time, how are we best disposed to that gift? And how do we then do something with it? How do we respond? How do we cooperate with that? Operate together with what the Holy Spirit is doing. So with that in mind, we have Trinity Sunday next Sunday as we move back into ordinary time where our focus is on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we focus on Jesus ascending into heaven, united with his Father. And today, the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. Came to the apostles as tongues of fire on that first Pentecost. Sometimes the Spirit is symbolized as a dove coming upon Jesus' head at his baptism, for example. We say at Mass, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that these gifts might be the body and blood of our Lord. It's worded, depends on the Eucharistic prayer that we're using, but that's the idea. So Holy Spirit is clearly important in Trinitarian theology, in the life of a Catholic, in the life of a Christian, and the Holy Spirit is a little bit more subtle sometimes, being like a breath or like the wind, being invisible. At the same time, there's moments that it's not hidden at all. It's very much present, very obvious. So let's continue to work on how we can best detect the action of the Holy Spirit and to have eyes of faith. For example, let's say in the midst of whatever stress and responsibilities that are on your plate, maybe someone came along and said something that stopped you in your tracks and you realize, okay, that was the Lord working. That was a moment of the Holy Spirit active in life for me to hear what I needed to hear. That just worked out perfect. Better than I could have manufactured. Or just some other kind of interaction with someone, or someone that's more patient with us than we were expecting. Maybe we were running late and they were there and they just kept waiting. Or we had some kind of conflict, but they just made it work. Just practicing flexibility and perseverance way beyond what we would normally expect. It's those kinds of moments that's Holy Spirit working to engineer that just so. So we come to this gospel, and why do we have this gospel? Because it's an example of the whole of Jesus breathing on them and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit," giving a good preview of Pentecost. If this gospel sounds familiar, it's because we had this a week after Easter Sunday on that Divine Mercy Sunday, when Thomas wasn't there, and it was a longer passage. We just have the first part of it here. So it starts off with these disciples hiding. They were in this room with the door locked. Don't know what kind of lock they had. They probably didn't have deadbolts back then. They had keys, but I'm sure the keys look different than they do now. Do they have one of those things you see in the Middle Ages where they put this big piece of wood over the door to block it? I don't know. If so, that would have been a good way to lock the door. So the door was locked. They didn't want access to anyone to come after them and even think about crucifying them or hurting them in any way. So in the midst of that kind of barrier, that kind of distance, that kind of fear, because are they going to live like that for the rest of their lives? Like, what are you doing? You know, and so Jesus comes to them right there. They're not necessarily prepared. They're certainly not polished. And Jesus comes anyway. And I suppose if he hadn't come, he'd be waiting a long time for them to open that door and unlock it. So he comes to them right where they are, which is a good encouragement for us. As the Lord comes into the marriage that you have right now, or into the divorce situation, or into another vocational or job or some other kind of dynamic in your life. And as he does so, you know, the Lord says to them, "Peace be with you." He says, "Peace be with you. May you have tranquility of order." He shows them his hands and his side, so they know it's him. These are the glorious scars. These are trophies now. These are evidence that something has been accomplished. All for love of us. All to open the gates of heaven. All putting into motion what will lead to the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and therefore propelling them to cross that threshold and to not be afraid like they used to be. To bring the gospel to the whole world. To lay down their life for the Lord. They all died as martyrs except for St. John. At least all the ones in the room there. These 11 apostles. Let's see. So they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So perfect love casts out all fear, after all. And in the presence of our Lord, this fear and stress vanishes. And it happens so quickly. Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." A sign that he's reinforcing that gift. And we need that as humans. We need a reminder. We need things to be deepened. Remember that time that Jesus healed the guy's blindness and then said to him, "Can you see clearly?" And he says, "No, I see people, but they look like trees." So he heals them again, which was more about the apostles and their lack of faith, that this was a sign of that at the time in Mark's gospel, halfway through Mark's gospel, if I remember right. So the Lord has power to heal, and he can do so all at once. At the same time, sometimes for us, in a subjective level, it's helpful when certain positive things, certain moments, when that gets repeated, when that gets deepened and strengthened. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Not, "If you do this, this, and this, then you'll be worthy. Or this, this, and this, then you'll be on mission." No, he's saying, "We're doing this now." The sense of the present moment, "I send you." There's no reason to say, "When, Lord?" You know, this is very serious, very profound words. There's no doubt. He's choosing them. He's choosing them for a great task. And he's going to provide the graces they need for them to fulfill those tasks. They're very familiar with the Father sending Jesus. They've heard about that all the time. When he talks to religious leaders, when he talks to people he heals, it just seems like he always returns back to that theme of what the Father is doing through him and how Jesus obeys the Father and reveals to us the Father. So as God the Father has sent Jesus, think about the incarnation, think about it being born, think about all the events that start off his public ministry, baptism, temptations in the desert. Think about the adversity he faced from these religious leaders. It seemed like at every turn there's adversity. And then the ordeal of the crucifixion. All of this is part of the mission of the Messiah. And Jesus has accomplished it, and he continues to accomplish it. But it's coming to a point that after he's been glorified, he will ascend into heaven, send the Holy Spirit, and now they're going to continue the mission of Christ. They are the body of Christ, the people of God. There's that inherent connection through our baptism, through the sacraments. Why would we ever compromise that? Let's let the Lord in. Let's let his graces flow in our marriages after setbacks such as divorce or something else. The Lord sends you. He sends you for something very important. And he's allowed certain things to happen just so that you and I are in position to do something significant. And even if we were sitting in some monastery praying, I mean, that's still significant, if that's our call. Or laundry for kids, laundry for our spouse, whatever it is, acts of service, being present to someone, giving food to the hungry. This is the Lord sending us, and this is our response. And we are striving to respond more consistently and more in line with his call. How do I know if what the Lord is calling me to do? Yeah, that's the exciting work, to discern that, to do our best, and then to act on that. And it's ongoing listening, ongoing prayer, and sometimes trial and error. Just doing the best we can to crawl through certain seasons. Okay, so I send you. So sent, boom, it's going to happen. And think about the end of Isaiah 55, where just as the rain and snow come down, do not return there till they have watered the earth, so my word shall do what I sent it to do. So that's what we are striving for, that just as things happen by nature, and just as God's word is effective, so us being sent out is meant to be like that. Even with our own human weaknesses, even with so much instability and inconsistency, the Lord chooses us anyway, provides us the graces we need, breathes the Holy Spirit on them, and then renews that gift at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Tongues of fire, strong driving wind. This gets their attention. They're going to remember that. That's going to make an impression. Receive the Holy Spirit. Who sends you, forgive, are forgiven them. Who sends you, retain, are retained. So thank God we have forgiveness of sins, especially through the sacrament of penance, also known as reconciliation, also known as confession, that a priest or a bishop are the minister of that sacrament. I was just reading about that in canon law in my little bit of reading I do each day. I happened to be on the sacraments of penance and anointing of the sick a little bit earlier today. So this is the biblical foundation of that. This is one of the texts, and it's got to be in the top five in terms of most important texts that connect with the sacrament of confession. Those sins you forgive are forgiven them. He's talking to his first priests. This is what you're going to do. I'm going to work through you here so that others might receive forgiveness of sins. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He could have talked about other things. He could have given chapters and books on what the Holy Spirit will do and how they're going to be part of it. But for now, he focuses on forgiveness of sins. That's so primary that Jesus mentions that very clearly right here without going on and on about it. Easy for them to remember. What else might we say about this? You know, I don't have a commentary that I'm looking at this time. Seems like Easter season, I've gotten away from that a little bit. Mostly because these Gospels are not in order in terms of just going down the line in the Gospel of John or one of the other ones, but it kind of jumps around a little bit because it's giving us highlights. It's the way Lent has been as well. But we're going to go into ordinary time the next two Sundays, celebrating Trinity, Holy Trinity, and then Corpus Christi, Body and Blood of Christ, respectively. But for now, our focus is on the Holy Spirit. Let us be open. And remember, the Holy Spirit brings fire into the world, the right kind of fire, the good kind that propels us from being stagnant or neglectful or disordered to something much more in line with the gift of peace, which Jesus talks about in John chapter 20. A gift that we can't find anywhere else except in Jesus Christ. In our pursuit to be united with the Trinity, in our pursuit to be fully alive, let us continue to be thankful for what the Lord does and to continue to hunger and thirst for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit renews the face of the earth and renews His gifts within each of us. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene, Junction City, and Chapman, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May Almighty God bless you always, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.